This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom at the Wall Street Journal, as always. So there are no shortage of iPhone options to choose from this fall. You can take a big breath and spend $1,000 on a premium iPhone 10, or you can try your hand at the iPhone 8 or iPhone 8 Plus. Personal tech columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Jeffrey Fowler, was able to test out option B with the iPhone 8 model. And whatever you decide to do, you should definitely listen to what he has to say. He's joining us now from San Francisco. Welcome, Jeff. Welcome back.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So as I stated in the intro, this is not for that person standing in line with their $1,000 ready. This is someone who is thinking about it, not quite ready, you know, pondering over the iPhone 8. So let's dive right in. A lot of people talking about the glass back and how it's back. What do you think about that?
I didn't love it. So look, this is an aesthetic thing. Some people are going to think it's wonderful, and it reminds them of the iPhone 4, which might have been everyone's, you know, favorite iPhone design. But I think it's got some problems. First of all, it doesn't look as elegant as the iPhone 7, especially that piano black finish where it feels like a pebble that's sort of sculpted out of one piece and has been sort of smoothed by the ocean.
Right.
With this, now because there's two pieces of glass sort of with a metal wrapper around it, you can see that seam. And the first time I picked it up, it just kind of felt like a knockoff. So that's one mark against it. The other mark against the glass, in my opinion, is that there is additional risk of cracking it.
That's my problem.
You may remember the iPhone 4. A lot of people were walking around with those broken glass backs.
Right.
Now, Apple says it's using much harder glass these days, but it's still a risk. And Apple announced last week, in addition to its new glass phones, that it's going to charge more than ever for fixing broken glass. As well as for its warranty program, which I don't think is a good deal anyway.
I think I've definitely had the most replacements of the iPhone 4. Let's leave the glass alone. Wireless charging, new for Apple. Always something that sounds good in theory, great even, but in practice, the jury's still out. What does how does Apple's go at wireless charging measure up?
The problem has been that there aren't that many wireless charging units out there in the wild. Maybe Apple getting into this can fix that. So maybe it'll finally be something that you'll want to use. But I found the problem is that the charging pads that are available right now are just kind of inconvenient to use. I was using one made by Mophie, and I had to figure out and learn how to put it exactly in the dead center. Because if you don't, it won't charge, and you'll come back. And this happened to me. You'll come back a couple hours later, and your phone's almost dead, and you're like, "Why? I thought I was charging!" And you weren't actually charging. I have to say, the wireless charging unit has not earned a place next to my bedside. I will be keeping the Tangle rat's nest of cables to keep them plugged in, because then I know if it's really working.
I got one too. Something that's boasted about here in a big way is the battery life. You know, those usually don't go a long way. Is it a big deal this time?
Not at all. In fact, actually, Apple says they're not claiming much of a difference in the battery life between the 7 and the 8.
Well, at least they're
honest. 7 is the one that had a leap forward, and then the next leap forward is actually in the 10. That's claiming 2 hours more. Haven't had a chance to test that, but you know I will.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pretty rigorous test we do here at the Journal to really validate some of these claims. But if your number one issue with your smartphone is the battery dying during the day, do not buy the 8 for the battery life. Shell out for the 10.
One thing that's obviously also a very big deal for a lot of iPhone users, smartphone users, is the camera. You know, there hasn't been a huge wow lately. Does that change this time?
Not really. I've got a bunch of great samples on the Journal's website that you can study yourself. But I went into the field and took over 1,500 photos using the Samsung Galaxy Note 8, which is the best Samsung camera out there, the Pixel XL, which is last year's Google phone, which still has an excellent camera, and then the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 8. In most cases, but not all cases, but in most cases, the iPhone 8 shot was better, but you have to kind of be a photo person to notice. It's got maybe a little bit more saturation, a little more detail, a little more contrast. Probably the biggest change that you'll be able to notice is actually in the flash. So if you take a flash, usually I actually turn off the flash on my smartphone camera because it makes people look like, you know, raccoons
exactly.
Caught in the trash can on security videos.
It's not your
but
friend,
what they've
right.
done is they've changed the way the flash works so it sort of flashes at a different rate, and that means it'll fill out the background without making the person in the front seem quite as bright. And that was a noticeable impact, but that's kind of it, unless you're really a photo buff.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to the Wall Street Journal's Jeffrey Fowler about the iPhone 8. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
What are the keys to making better decisions in work and life? One of the most successful entrepreneurs and investors of our time, Ray Dalio, has written down his recipes for doing so in his new book, Principles. According to Michael Bloomberg, creating and living by a set of principles allowed Ray to reach the top. Everyone with goals and dreams can learn from his approach. To learn more or to hear Ray's TED Talk, visit principles.com.
Thanks for joining us. So, Jeff, let's wrap this up by talking about the processor. If you're spending as much as a PC on a smartphone, I would hope that it's at least as fast as one.
Well, this is the puzzle. And I spent a lot of time for the last couple of days trying to figure out, okay, what can I do on the 8 or the 10, because it's the same processor, that I just can't do on a 7? It was hard to find examples, to be completely honest. Now, there's always an argument for future-proofing. You know, having that later processor, who knows what you're going to want to do on your phone in 2 years from now, if you're going to hold on to your phone for that long. But in terms of what you can do today, there's not a ton. There are some photo tricks that you can do. It's part of what makes the camera actually a little bit better. But there's a big push now, particularly from Apple, for augmented reality apps. Those apps will work just as well on any device that's running iOS 11. They may be a little snappier, a little speedier. The battery may last a little longer running them with the iPhone 8. The camera, its improvements may help them work a little bit better indoors where it's darker light. But beyond that, I really struggled to find things that I felt like, wow, you really need an iPhone 8 to do that today. Will that change in 2 years? Maybe, but not today.
Very good. We'll leave it right there. It's a pretty good primer for the iPhone 8 for those mulling it over. Jeff Fowler, thanks as always.
You bet.
Be sure to check out Jeff's video at wsj.com/tech. It really illustrates what he means about the camera, and there's a lot of cool features as always. That's it for the Tech News Briefing for now. Reporting from the newsroom at the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.